adopted as the anthem of
Give thanks to the women of the Calabash for that magnificent song. Afrikete is lovely. So don't let E.I. mess it up. I say both our guests are online. Goddess Velma B, greetings. I love you, Queen Mother. How you doing?
Oh, very thankful and very blessed. And I'm so glad to say hi to you tonight.
Ashe. And we have the other goddess on, Yvette. Ashe, I got to take her number down. Greetings, goddess.
Peace and greetings. I keep sending it to you.
I didn't get it.
I sent it to you twice.
I've looked through all of that stuff trying to call you. But you here tonight, so I'm happy. I'm overjoyed. We have a trinity and we have power, and we're going to let Queen Mother open us up in prayer and lead us through the lesson, and then we're going to come forward with the reflections that come from us. And if anybody wants to call in, feel free to call in. That's what we do.
Greetings, greetings, greetings to you, Sister Yvette. Goddess, it's so good to have you with us tonight. Let us all pray together. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. It is really such a blessing. We're so thankful tonight that we have a place to rest ourselves. We're so thankful and so blessed that we have a place to comfort ourselves. And we're so blessed and thankful that we have the courage to never give up. And for this, we pray and give thanks. Amen, 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 ashe, ashe, ashe. We will continue in the spirit of love, thankfulness, and seeking always to transform ourselves with a renewed mind. So we have two focuses for tonight because it's the month of February. We know that on February 14th, which is Thursday, we will celebrate what? What will we celebrate? Valentine's Day, the day that was granted as a day to love and to show it. It's also Black History Month. So all month long, we will be in some way declaring that we have always had a heritage, we've always had a culture, and we've always had the strength to move forward. So we are just highlighting more of our special people during this month. So we know we love each other, do we not? We love each other with the way we greet each other, with the way we hold the hands of each other, the way we look in the eyes of each other, to stand there and decree with our eyes that, oh, I love you so much, and I just miss you when you're not here for me to tell you that. And the greatest place where we treasure our love is in our hearts. So tonight, I'm going to invite each of us to love ourselves with the energy love clap. Some of you may have heard it said before. You may have even demonstrated it. But it's a legacy that's being left tonight for you to stand firm wherever you are. If you're sitting, that's fine. But you get more love when you're standing on your 2 feet because you know you're in charge. So we're going to demonstrate with this exercise of asking you to just take both hands and begin to clap. Now, sometimes we clap going outward, where we start with the base of our hands and we go outward. But this time, for our energy love clap, we're going to bring our fingers and our hands towards our heart. So just begin to demonstrate. Take your hands, put them together, and slowly bring them towards your heart. Focus on your hands coming towards your heart. Your heart is where your treasure lies, and your heart is the love base for all that you do. So you're sending a wave from your brain through your hands to your heart, and your brains determine all that's necessary. And I was just so pleased to hear the president talk about the research that's being done to highlight more understanding of how the brain functions. So tonight, we're going to just keep on clapping now. Keep on clapping your hands. I'm getting you ready so that you can bring that energy to your heart. So if you're clapping now, make it a little stronger. Clap harder so we can begin to hear it on the telephone, clapping the energy in your hands, because your hands represent the strong portion of your body. So you're clapping towards your heart so that you feel the energy coming towards yourself. And you can just, I say, I love me. I love myself. I'm going to give love from my brain to my hands to my heart, because I want that energy that satisfies me. So we're doing the energy love clap to our hearts. Now that you brought that love to your heart and you're opening up your chest and you're standing strong as a person who has confidence and courage for transformation, stand stronger, stand higher, lift up your head and put out your chest. This is a day to say I'm loved and I love myself. And if there's anybody in the room with you, I want you now to take your hands and then go outward, but ask the person near you, would you like to have my love?
Okay, that's
big. Would you like to have my love, Sister Darling, Sister Yvette?
Yes.
Well, then you begin to keep clapping that your hands and bringing that energy to your heart. And I am going to, from the base of my hands, send forth that love to your heart from mine. So I'm thankful that you're there to receive my love. It's a distant love affair, but I'm sending it to you. So as each of you in your own places say to the other, would you like my love? Then the person that's clapping to their heart, keep doing that. And then the other person offering that love will just again send out the clap outward as opposed to inward. So spend just a few minutes now giving love to the person near you by sending it out from your heart, and they're receiving it with theirs. So we're just going to say a two-way street. I give it to you, and you receive it after I've energized myself. So you can't give unless you touch your own heart and say you have the love to give. So if you feel you've done a good job so far just by sending the love from your heart to another heart, then let me hear you just clap your hands just like this. This is a hand clap.
But see, if you want my love, Queen Mother, do you want my love, Yvette? And I'm sending it out to Sandra because she's on too.
All right, then. So right. I want your love, and I receive your love to my heart. I receive it now. Thank you for it. And we're sending it back out to the other person that just called, whose name was called, we're sending it out. So thank you for receiving your love to me, Sister Darlene. And we know that Sister Yvette has gotten her love portion. Have you, Sister Yvette, gotten your love portion, Goddess?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so now we know that we have a love street, the energy from our hearts given it to another person. So for Valentine's Day on the 12th of February, we give thanks that we can love each other with our whole heart and love each other the way we want to be loved ourselves. So we clap in the love portion for this evening, saying thank you, thank you, thank you. And ever you get sad or you're wondering if anybody loves you, just say, I love me, and I'm going to let myself know it by giving myself the energy love clap. Now, there's a whole workshop on that energy love clap. If anyone wants to really stand firm in it, we can talk about that. So thank you, thank you, thank you. So that's our love clap. And tonight we're going to continue to recognize one of our legacies in honor of Black History Month. We acknowledged Dr. Ben Yochanan on last week because this is a 92-year-old man who really thought it not robber to educate us about our heritage, especially the Egyptian community, the Kemet, the world where lots began, mathematics began, and we have the strong pyramids and all the different items and different landmarks that we all had something to do with. So tonight, we are really very glad to recognize a person who made cultural impact by transforming a whole industry called the sports industry. This man was born in a sharecropping family, but he was strong-minded and strong-willed, and he had a blessing within himself to go against all odds because he was transformed with strong courage and strong intention. And that person's name is Jack Roosevelt Robinson. He was known as Jackie Robinson, who transformed the sports world and was the first African-American to play baseball in the major leagues. I know we all have heard of the Brooklyn Dodgers. If not, tonight we are recognizing that the Brooklyn Dodgers hired the first African-American man to play with them on April 15, 1947. So Jack Roosevelt, Jackie he was called, was born January 31st, 1919. And at the time, he had to go against all odds. He had to keep his faith. He had to be strong with a good courage. He transformed his own self and transformed the whole cultural industry by just saying, I can do it. And when someone said, yes, you can, he was ready. He was ready. And he played with the Brooklyn Dodgers and played other places as well. But he could only play initially in the Negro Baseball League. But when it was time for him to come forward, he did it because he knew he could. And he's gotten so many accolades. He even got Jackie Robinson Day. And he got the President's Medal of Freedom and the Congressional Gold Medal. This was after he passed on. And he died on October 24th, 1972, and he was only 53 years old, but he stood the test of time, and he made the way for all of our athletes now not to have to go through what he did, because he stood the ground, and he went through, he was almost up for lynching. He went through everything imaginable, but he stood the ground. He became a businessman. He became an executive. He was very well known for the Chock Full of Nuts restaurant, where he could go and get coffee and sit and enjoy conversation on those stools. But one thing we're just celebrating, another man who was transformed with a renewed mind, that he could stand the ground and have faith and courage to say, I will, yes, I can. So we give thanks for him. We can just give this sharecropper who stood strong, strong-minded and strong-willed, and kept on going until he made the difference. And now there are scholarships for young people in his name. His wife continues, Rachel Robinson continues, yielded to manifest the good that he did. So we know all of us tonight have something to offer. We all have to transform our minds and realize that we are not in a slave mode anymore. Fortunately, that Jackie Robinson stood the ground. But now we can transform our minds and look at all of those athletes who are making such inroads, being paid high salaries, still need a lot more transformation so they can know they're still somebody, even though they're in an integrated world. We know LeBron James, he's so powerful in what he does. He stands tall, and we're so proud of him. So tonight, we're just acknowledging, one, that we can be firm in our faith, we can be strong and strong-willed, we can break color barriers anytime we want to, because now is time for us to rise above it all, and in the next century, declare that we have another way to impact the way we feel about ourselves and the way we look at ourselves, because now we have somebody we can count on, ourselves, because the best job starts on the inside, where we can clap ourselves to glory, just knowing that we are loved, we have a culture that we are proud of, we have people who came before us to break down barriers for us, and tonight we just shout hallelujah. We've done it once, We've done it once, and we can do it again. And if we don't believe it the way we can believe it, I know that some of us may have looked at the State of the Union, and the State of the Union for us tonight is that we are going to make life better, not only for those in the past, the present, but our children for the future. So if you believe that, I know we can all say together, Ashe, Ashe, Ashe. It is said and it is done. Let's keep up the good works tonight and forever. Ashe, Ashe, Ashe.
Ashe. Now, you know, one of the things that Spirit told me to do is to be clear on post-traumatic slave syndrome. So I want to take from, because although we have made inroads and we have Ibashe, we give honor and thanks to Jackie Robinson. We still have a long way to go because many of those sports people, they try to find the most European-looking woman to live with and marry. And in the meantime, it's sending a dangerous message to our young children that, you know, they have to be a certain way. They have to project a certain image. And I'm sure, Yvette, that you could share with us some of the hardships with your own daughter-in-law wanting to be, you know, an image rather than to be substance. So post-traumatic slave syndrome, and this is from page 125 of the book by Dr. Joy DeGruyt Leary, and it says, post-traumatic slave syndrome defined. Post-traumatic slave syndrome is a condition that exists when a population has experienced multi-generational trauma. And keep that in mind, multi-generational trauma. And that's trauma over many generations, resulting from centuries of slavery, and continues to experience oppression and institutionalized racism today. Added to this condition is a belief, real or imagined, that the benefits of the society in which they live are not accessible to them. This then is post-traumatic slave syndrome. Multi-generational trauma, together with continued oppression and absence of opportunity to access the benefits available in the society, leads to post-traumatic slave syndrome. PTSD. And she goes on to say that PTSS is a syndrome. A syndrome is a pattern of behaviors that is brought by specific circumstances. The circumstances that produce post-traumatic slave syndrome, multi-generational trauma, and continued oppression, plus real or imagined lack of access, are aligned out above. Now, one of the things that she said, real or imagined, it's not imagined that many children, like 500 children, are being killed in Chicago. That's not imagined. That's real. And that it's so easy for our children to access guns and to access the life of a thug or a hustler or whatever you want to call them these days and take over the streets, robbing themselves. These are not imagined things. And these are post-traumatic slave syndrome and the behaviors at its worst. And I like to call them what Dr. Bolin, John Bolin, from New York, a noted psychiatrist, that we work with in New York, said it's called niggerism. And those are specific niggerish behaviors. And those are the behaviors that make people
want to fly from the ghetto to the suburbs. And we're running away from ourselves because children are not being taught the ways to gain this. And many of them are not listening because the man who's selling on the street, he's stronger than the teacher. Because the teacher in the school is not teaching the access to the benefits of the society that we live in. Sure, they want a fair playing ground. I love our president, but he's got to address all the people's issues, including African Americans. And I don't think that he puts too much energy into our problems, which most of it has to do with the lack of a family system, a working family system. So, Now, Yvette, this question is you, in that you have a daughter-in-law who's about imagery and, you know, wanting to be something but not really sure who she wants to be. How do we handle those sisters to share with them the benefits of identity with being African, not just being black, because, you know, somehow or another black takes with it a negative that we have to change as well, but even anything African?
That's interesting, because that's been my own personal challenge. I can't even say it's self-esteem. It's something with building up these young sisters. I've been around, even here in Detroit, that we have two really prominent African-centered schools. And the young ladies go through a rite of passage, young men go through rites of passage, but still that street thing still pulls some of them. Although they were, you know, they're being brought up from the beginning with self-pride and history and knowledge of self, so to speak, they still end up going that other route, my son included. So I have no answer to that. It's hard. It really is. It's hard. And even for myself, I mean, me being brought up in a family that has the one side I was too light, the other side I was too dark. So I didn't fit in. I was like the outcast. You know, that whole thing. So even now, you like, even with the locking of my hair, there were, you know, one of my relatives like, well, what's the next thing you're going to do? You're going to take one of those Oonga Boonga names, you know, that kind of thing. So it's deep. It runs very deep. I really don't have an answer.
Shay, but you laid it out, and that is the problem exactly. That's one of the problems exactly.
Well, it comes with that knowledge of self. Once you have to be, and you can't give anybody that or even teach anybody that, somewhere within them, they have to find that comfort level of themselves, and that's the challenge. Because I went through my phase in my teen years specifically of having awful self-esteem. I was taught that my lips were too big, my hair was too nappy, you know, all these things. I thought I was the ugliest thing walking for a very long time. You know, I don't know. It's somewhere in that self thing.
And that's one of the components that Dr. DeGruyter enlist is vacant self-esteem. And if we can stop relating to colors and features and embrace all as beautiful. You know, they have a commercial where they talk about gay people and, you know, they make a joke, oh, this is so gay, and they try to
write
down. And the girl comes back and said, what if I said the girl wearing the skirt as the blouse is so negative. That is such a, you know, negative thing. And shut their mouth, because until all of us are beautiful, none of us are beautiful.
So, Sister Darlene, one of the things as I listen is wanting to have it happen. That's number one. We have to know that it's necessary to have it done. I would love to know, Sister Yvette, when you said you went through your space and time, what brought you to more recollection that you wanted to go on the road of being more African? Did you find that you did get to that point, that you wanted to be more African?
I met other women who were on that path, and I started to do more research, and I started to read more. And that's what brought that out. There was a period, I think around, when I was around seven, maybe, I fell in love with Huey Newton, and everything was Black is Beautiful. I was writing it on everything, and my parents totally put an end to that. They weren't having none of that. So somewhere, how old was I? I wasn't quite, was I 30? I think in my early 30s, I met these women, and I got more comfortable with me.
Well, I think what my thought was is what you just explained. Knowledge mm-hmm. is power, and to mm-hmm. have the information is a first step. Because if you don't get the information in some manner, you really won't know what to use to improve yourself or to know more about your Africanism and what has happened over the years to make it the way it is. So it really is a need to do it. It's having the information to share, because the knowledge is what we'll do, because the information is available. And it takes, the other thing is time. We have to really take the time with our young children to inform them, to educate them, and give them something to work from. It's not an easy task, because our children are scattered and may not have anyone to sit with them. If it's not in the school system, if you don't have someone in the household at the time, or someone who's really on the African track. So you do need people around you who are on the African track. And as Darlene mentioned, Dr. Bolden, who is on the track of African understanding. The National Black Theater, with a young lady by the name of Dr. Barbara Antier, who has worked diligently, who's gone on to glory now, who brought in that whole reference of African connection. So, one, it's necessary. Two, it does help us to get out of that post-traumatic slavery syndrome, because we have something to connect with. So connection is important, spending time in conversation about it and not running from it. I know a lot of us have gone through the hair change. I know the experience I had with the hair change and going from locks to natural and all of the things, but it was a path, it was a journey, but we've got to get there. And now, with whoever is willing to say to a young person, it was like this. When I think about a Paul Robeson, we know Paul Robeson, who was one of the strongest performers, and what he went through, sometimes we do have to educate from what it was, what it is now, and how it can be. So do you want to go on? Do you want to find a place that you can also make a difference? So one, we got to look at the end product. Look at where we started from, but be willing to take the time to educate our children, to help them understand that they can have something that they can be proud of, and that is with their own understanding of who they are.
Mm-hmm. And to break the cycle before the children get to an age where they can discriminate who's good, who's bad, just like the Doll Project. That
Kenneth Clark
and his wife Mamie.
Yes.
Did those dolls, and it hasn't changed. It hasn't moved. And I remember seeing a story on the news in Georgia, a woman who was very huge, you know, obese, had blonde hair in her head, and had her little daughter holding a little blonde-haired child talking about she don't know why those kids keep making fun of her daughter.
Mm-mm.
She not instilling no pride. She wasn't instilling any pride in her daughter. Her daughter was being attacked because they said she didn't look like that doll. Why is she carrying it around? We have to come to a society where it's all right to carry around any doll, but we haven't gotten there because we haven't healed those traumas that big lips, four eyes, nappy hair, ooh, you blacking in dirt. Those kinds of comments have brought us. And until we make a stand so that we address it before children get to elementary school and kindergarten where they become discriminated against. Now, we have somebody else who's holding on to speak, Goddess Nadia. Greetings.
Greetings, Queen Mothers. How are you this evening?
Very well, thank you.
We are good.
I'm listening. I'm listening, and I'm thinking one of the things that I find disturbing in the community, especially the quote-unquote conscious community, is that they're so quick to label, judge, and sentence an individual based upon their complexion, you know, when I don't think one's ancestry is defined by their appearance, you know, so much so because we are such a diverse people. And I think that that's an instrument that's used to just continue to have us divided. You know, someone might, I've been told that I have too many quote-unquote European images on my Facebook page, which I'm thinking to myself, you really don't know someone's descent, you know, about something. And I'd be a fool to not acknowledge the wisdom and knowledge and power in something based upon its deliverer, you know. And I think that that holds us back, you know, as a people as well, you know, so quick to judge someone and label them or to discredit them and say they're not black enough or they're not African enough or, you know, just that type of thing. There's so many different forms of discrimination and us holding each other back, you know, based on lack of knowledge.
And that,
you know,
and
when
that,
you're dealing with that, how do you pass that on to your children? Like, how do you can't really expect someone to pass on a tradition of ancestry when they really don't know their ancestry.
That's it. And that's where the elders come in, so important to the family. But I want to speak on what you said, which is another extreme. And we've got to do away with these extremes. And we've got to teach children that there is beauty in everything. And that, you know, being of African ancestry, you know, the nose, the lips, the color, is beautiful too. You know, and that we should not discriminate with whoever loves who, because the mothers want us to transcend the level of discrimination. Because that's a patriarchal form of abuse. That's why when we are collective, we work in a collective form and there's a different structure. Nobody comes in as the leader or the president. We have a structure of a circle where we're sharing information and we're growing and transforming because we're hearing that we need to start the conversation no matter how hard it is and try to figure it out. Now, prayer works to start these conversations because prayer opens you a door. You know, many people say, don't, you know, prayer is overused, but I don't think you can use it enough. prayer opens the door, and we women have ofoche, power in our words. And if we pray for our grandchildren or our children to have a open ear to learning about their African ancestry, and this is where the elders in the family are so important, to even pray for an open road for someone to want to share the stories of the family.
It really gets back to where the love is. So love helps to be non-judgmental, and love helps to see things through, as you said, the eyes of the beholder and the nature that is. So the how to pray just for love. If we pray just for love, then out of that love feeling will flow an open heart and an open mind. So that is really the key to moving for the understanding from whence you came. So the culture of the African mind is one that once it's embedded in us, we've got it. But we got to also, as you said, start with that the love factor. That's really what gets us to the next level, to love each other. But starting out with loving yourself, but to know yourself is what we're talking about. But someone has to help us, and I think that that is a responsibility for the us who's come through it and know the importance of it. So no matter where we see a child, it's up to us, even with the behavior that they may be exhibiting, wherever we are, how we can demonstrate to that child that we love that child. It may be this. Maybe to correct the presentation at that moment, maybe to correct the language that's being used, but to really reach out and touch the heart of the child at the time that they need that love touch. So it's really ways we got to keep working on it, but the goal is to see that our children are endowed and equipped with another way of looking at the culture that we are brought up into right now. It's just not working. That's where I know we would start from, that whole love in the heart and trusting that we are not, we're not without a base, we're not without a heritage. We did start out with having all that we needed, and we can still have it. We can still work to reclaim it. Ashe.
Ashe. And you know, Queen Mother, in thinking about it, if we don't start with slavery, it makes it easier for children to understand. We need to look at the origins of civilization and recognize that Africa is the first civilization that has been copied by all of them. And we have to begin to tell the truth. It was so apropos that we did Dr. Ben last week, because most of his life's work was spent showing that Africa and Africans did not start in America. Slavery did not begin black people.
The two words that you're saying is one is the truth that must be told against all odds. The truth has to be told, and the knowledge has to be shared. The knowledge is what starts it, and the truth is what will make it continue. The truth and the knowledge going together. And not, the truth of what you just said, absolutely, absolutely, because it's beautiful. That's the whole thing. It's not an ugly situation. It's really lovely when we can really get down to understand, but it's got to be taught.
So sometimes you may not have access to an elder, in which case you do have access to the you know, the culture that was, you know, ancient African culture, Kemet. And knowing that both of us have a child named Isis is very telling in itself, because the children have to know the history of the name. And there is a reason why these children have been named Isis. They carry with them the aspects of that particular goddess in full.
I was listening to another show this evening where the brother was expressing the difference between the name Orset and the name Isis, which is the Greek version of the African name Orset.
Right.
Also, the brother was talking about how these names are different aspects of us, as opposed to being deities within themselves. These were the Kemetan's way of somewhat labeling and channeling the different aspects of our soul or our spirit. So, you know, Osar, Osiris, you know, that's the Greek version of Osar, and how that's really just speaking about us, you know, who we are and our divinity and what we're capable of and what different forms that we can exist. I think one of the things that would help when trying to impart wisdom on the next generation, you know, our youth, is to be honest about everything. There are also aspects of our ancestry that's not so pretty and glorious and beautiful. And it's like a child finding out something about their parents that's not too flattering. What they tend to do sometimes is disregard all information at that point because they've been deceived and lied to. So when telling the story of Africa, you know, and ancestry and heritage, I think someone should be prepared when teaching to include all information, which, of course, they'd have to first inform themselves. You know, that it's not all glitz and glory. You know, I know for myself, I can speak and say, I get turned off when someone tries to share with me information about our motherland and our culture and our people, and they leave out the things that are not so pretty. That kind of turns me off from the conversation in itself. You know, you want the truth. I think our children want the truth at this point. They don't want to be lied to. Everything around them is manipulation. It's about manipulation and control. The least thing that we can offer our children at this stage in life and evolution is honesty and truth.
That's the only
not
thing
just
on
our opinion and wishes and hopes for how we, you know, for how it was. Yeah, we had golden cities where we were playing marbles with diamonds. That's all beautiful. Yes, we were king and queens, and we were scientists, and we still are all these things. But there were some things that were not so nice also. And when teaching someone, I think it's really important to have balance. Because most of our youth, if you see how they react today, they really don't put much credibility into the elders because of the state of things. You know, and that's part of post-traumatic slave disorder, I think, as well. Walking around with a facade or an imaginary state of perfection regarding our origin as far as culture and landscape. You know, there's a balance to everything. There's a positive and negative to everything. You can't just peddle information to our youth as all positive. That goes against the laws of science. So we don't want to omit science when we're teaching culture and origin, because we are scientists by divine design.
Ashe, I want to say to you that I agree with you, and I absolutely believe that children need truth. And the truth is that we are repeating the mistakes of the past. The same way that we got roped into slavery, rope-a-dope, we getting ready to get rope-a-dope slavery over here, and it's going to be the haves and the have-nots still. And they let a little few black people, Hispanic people roll in, Indian people, and they want to maintain that same power over lower or poverty-stricken population. Mm-hmm. Because they're not lower. They merely don't have access to the resources. And I think that we have to tell truth. And we have to say this is racist socialization that is being put upon our families, our children, when we sit down and let the boob tube babysit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. we've got to take a more centrally role in gearing our children for society. Our children should know that commercials are meant to sell them something. And if they don't mm-hmm. see their face in that commercial, obviously that company doesn't value them as a buyer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all about programming. That's why it's called programs.
Exactly. That's
it's
why
all
we
about
need
programming. But we don't want to fall into the trap of those very tricksters in a sense where they present a false sense of something, of an image or a concept. We don't want to follow them and do the same thing in trying to educate our people and our children about who we are and where we come from, you know, and different things like that. The same thing that Goddess Yvette said, that a lot of that is individual because it's not always a general philosophy or teaching. These things also are based upon one's personal experience and their journey through different lifetimes. You see, I have all kind of ethnic, quote-unquote, ethnic ancestry, you know, and for someone to put it to me like there's only one that is correct, you can't put it to someone like that. It's like telling someone there's only one way to do something for success.
Well, you know, those people have the same problems that the current oppressors have, and they
that's
want
right.
to control. That's power.
That's, and that's what it's about. That's right, control.
And we have to take our individual families and give our children the knowledge, because knowledge is power, to be able to fight the pressures of the peers, pressures of the school system. There is a definite difference from the way that rich kids are educated and poor children
mm-hmm.
are educated.
Mm-hmm.
And so that there is, she said, real or imagined, there is a very real discrimination in school systems.
That's right.
Not receiving the knowledge they need to rule the world and rule their
own world.
Well,
that falls back on us. Yeah, that falls back on us. We can't, you know, I read something that, you know, someone put up, and I relate to it somewhat, which is, who do you know that sends their oppresses their children to educate. So we can dissect the educational system, but in reality, it is what it is, and it's coming from who they have a purpose to serve.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so either we become homeschoolers, or what I consider myself is I'm a computer engineer of the human brain, meaning when my Steve comes home from school, we take what we need, we leave the rest, and we do a little reprogramming.
I say.
You know, after he gets home. Mm-hmm. And my intent would be to eventually become a full-time homeschooling teacher to my Steve. However, that's not for everybody. Everybody is not in a position to do that. You know, so you do what you can do. You do what you're capable of doing, and if you're in a process of evolution and growing and operating under the guise of love and humility, you can still get these things accomplished. We have some great people in our community that they were only educated academically through the school system. You know what I'm saying? So, again, it varies upon, there's so many different elements and components when helping a personality to evolve and develop and come into its full potential. But we want to give our children the tools to think, not tell them what to think. Because when you do that, you hinder their potential. As of right now, as they're growing, their potential is, I mean, it exceeds all boundaries. But once we start indoctrinating them with certain things, like our oppressors did to us, we limit their spiritual, physical, emotional potential. You know, and part of that can come from telling somebody, this is what you are and this is what you did. No, it's so much more than that. You know, give me the info and let me build and grow. The best thing a person can do is lead by example. That's the best lesson to give. So if we carry ourselves as kings and queens and authors of civilizations and different world powers, then our children will have no choice but to acknowledge that that's where they come from. So we can talk a good game, but if we're not walking it and manifesting it, then, you know, it's almost useless because that's not how the mind works.
That's true.
Well, that's very true. Go ahead, Sonny.
We have to teach children how to be critical thinkers, and that's what I wanted to say.
That's the truth. So what we discovered is that the truth is it needs to be done, and we have to do it in any way we can, but the goal is to reach the child at the earliest age possible so that their mindset is already moving mm-hmm. forward, that there's possibility right. for them, but they must know from whence they've come so they can stand strong wherever they are and know that there's a place that they originated from and it was a good place. Even though, as was just said, there's struggles, there's conditions, but the mind is set because I know from whence I've come, I know who I am, and I have to keep building all along from the earliest age to continuation so that they then can have their offsprings having been endowed with the same understanding. So the truth is, knowledge is power, the truth must set us free, and we've got to keep teaching it any way that we can, but as again, we have to mm-hmm. learn it so we can teach it. So it's a discipline.
Mm-hmm. Womb care. And that begins in the womb.
Have Amen. 5 minutes remaining, and if you may, if everyone wants to summarize the teaching, especially you, Queen Mother, Goddess Yvette, you want to summarize, Goddess Nadia, you want to summarize. We have 5 minutes.
Well, I know that we started out saying we've got to be strong and have to be courageous. We've got to understand, one, love does come from our hearts, and we do have to share it. And we're open to love and to give it, and we're open to learn about who we are so we can keep being transformed with a renewed mind. So that is the primary thing. And I mean, what you offered about the reading that came from page 125, we've got to keep realizing that there was a problem and we've got to keep moving beyond it. So the courage to stand against all odds, to keep speaking out to the love that's in our heart, keep using that love, and keep determining that we have a culture that we're proud of, we got to overcome the slavery syndrome.
Ashe. Goddess Yvette?
I'm sorry. Being open is very important, considering the fact that I learned a lot in the beginning from my first husband, who was Caucasian. He's the one who taught me more. He's the one who gave me my first Malcolm X book and everything else. He was more conscious than anyone I'd ever known. And he was, although he's in denial that he's not black, but anyway, being open to the information and being able to take it in wholeheartedly. That's the key.
Ashe.
I guess, you know, just acknowledging the balance of the source of all things. You know, we have different aspects to learning and teaching. which you can't do one without the other. I don't think, if you're a good person. And, sometimes we got to revert back to that youthful spirit and energy and able to even be able to relate to our, our seeds and what they're going through and what they're viewing. And I think elders need to be a little bit more realistic about everything in its entirety prior to breaching the subject of just our ancestry and our heritage. Be honest with yourself first, and then you can be honest with other people.
Ashe.
Mm-hmm.
Queen Mother, Goddess Nadia, Goddess Yvette, you want to quickly give your communication information?
Yes, there's the email, which is contactmissb7@yahoo.com. That's contactmissb7@yahoo.com. If you'd like to go to the website, it's banksenterpriseonline.com, and you'll learn more about the work that we do, and there's a telephone number for contact, and there's an Ask Miss B for questions. Thank you. It's a pleasure.
I can be reached at... I can be reached Yvette Willis Newell, N-E-W-E-L-L, on Facebook, Motown Witch on Facebook, The Divine Lotus on Facebook.
I can be reached on Facebook at Nadia Amulet Hotep Krahar. And again, that's my Facebook title. So I can be reached there.
Ashe. And this show and all shows of this type is brought to you by Yoruba House of Worship. We give thanks for all you listeners. Drop us a line. Let us know. Have you felt the energy of transformation since we started doing our series on transformation? Please think critically about post-traumatic slave syndrome and think about whether or not you bring that to the table with your children. Are you passing down the multi-generational negative comments and feedbacks about being African? And we've had a marvelous night. Thank you, each and every one. You have been so wonderful, your information, sharing it and sharing your knowledge and power has been outstanding. And I give thanks to you and have a blessed evening. And I know we'll be talking to you soon. Ashe.
Ashe.
We bid you a better day tomorrow.
Oh,